Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Teenager charged with choking girlfriend, breaking her phone. OA News at OAOA.com. A 17-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly choked and broke his girlfriend's phone when she tried to call 911. Alberto Arras was charged with assault by impeding breathing or circulation, family violence, a third-degree felony, and interfere with emergency request, a Class A misdemeanor. The reported assault happened at 9:59 p.m. June 25th at the Acacia Apartments located at 4775 Oakwood Drive, an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. Kaylee Mendoza reportedly told police that her and her boyfriend, identified as Arras, were trying to talk about fixing their relationship, but he became upset about a disagreement. Mendoza stated he started pushing her and he threw her to the ground. Mendoza stated she was able to get away from him and get her phone in order to dial 911, the affidavit stated. Mendoza stated Arras grabbed her phone and threw it on the ground, which caused it to break. Mendoza stated Arras grabbed the broken phone and kept it. Mendoza reportedly told police that he grabbed her from behind and started to strangle her by placing his arms around her neck in a chokehold position. Mendoza stated she passed out due to the lack of air. Officers saw red marks around Mendoza's neck that were consistent with her story, the affidavit stated. Officers also saw that Mendoza was fatigued and seemed to be in pain. A witness reportedly told police that Arras was in the parking lot. Mendoza stated Arras was wearing a gray shirt and gray shorts. Officers asked the man his name, and he replied, Tito. Mendoza mentioned that Arras' nickname was Tito. Arras was reportedly read his rights and wished to speak with officers. Arras denied strangling Mendoza, but he did state he pushed her multiple times. Officers asked for consent to search his pockets, at which time he agreed, and during the search, a white broken iPhone was in his left shorts pocket. Officers asked Arras who the broken phone belonged to, and he stated it was Mendoza's, the affidavit stated. Arras was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has two bonds, totaling $21,500, and he was still in custody as of Monday afternoon, jail records show. Unwind at the Ella Noel Art Museum for Ladies' Night. The Ella Noel Art Museum has scheduled a free event, Ladies' Night, July 16th. Two different time slots will be available. From 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. is for the 55-plus at-risk population, and 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. is available for the general population. Each time slot is limited to 60 people due to COVID-19. To reserve your spot, you must sign up before the day of the event. No walk-ins. If you'd like to reserve your spot today, please email Faye Batch at cec@noelartmuseum.org with the time of your choosing. Admission is free. Noel Art Museum, www.noelartmuseum.org. Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. Opinion. National View. Mask wearing is essential, not a culture war. The Point. The goal is to reopen without triggering more and more infections. AMC Entertainment, the movie theater chain, flip-flopped on the pandemic, first saying its customers wouldn't be required to wear masks, then saying they would. It's hard to blame the company given the Trump administration's scattered, inconsistent, and flat-out wrong messaging. Still, if the United States is going to beat the coronavirus and revive its economy, the private sector, including airlines, restaurants, retail establishments, and entertainment companies, needs to step up. AMC's first move was to say it wouldn't adopt any mask requirement at its cinemas. Even though masks are proven to impede spread of the coronavirus, because it wanted to avoid being drawn into a political controversy. Facing a social media backlash, it reversed course the next day, saying it's crucial that we listen to our guests. That was the right outcome, but both statements missed the point. COVID-19 is not a political controversy, and combating it is not a matter of customer relations. It's a public health crisis, and defeating it requires heeding public health experts. That means wearing masks in public, increased testing and tracing, and isolating people who become infected. AMC's flailing was a symptom of the country's larger failure to unite against the pandemic. That is unsurprising, given that President Trump, who ostentatiously refuses to wear a mask himself, is actively defying public health experts, holding his political rally in Tulsa last weekend inside an arena, subverting the importance of testing, and saying that Americans who cover their faces do so to spite him. In framing mask wearing as a culture war issue, Mr. Trump obscures and impugns what should be a straightforward and responsible act of personal protection and public hygiene. The good news is that companies are starting to understand not only the research on mask wearing, but also the implications for their bottom line. U.S. Airlines, whose recovery may be one barometer of the economy's overall fortunes, have finally started to enforce a policy announced in late April requiring passengers to wear masks. For weeks, flight attendants were instructed not to confront passengers who flouted the policy. Now, passengers are to be warned that defying the rule may get them banned from future flights. That's progress. It's also a belated act of self-interest on the airline's part. Many people will not fly if they have to share a row with a fellow passenger whose face is uncovered, and for good reason. No one should be subjected to that risk. The administration has declined to take any regulatory steps toward requiring masks aboard flights. In the absence of federal action, airlines must get tough. All Americans and all businesses want the country reopened. Mr. Trump has framed the issue falsely as a choice between economic revival and public health. In fact, the goal is to reopen intelligently without triggering a fresh tsunami of infections. That will require responsible decision-making by state and local leaders, as well as companies and individuals. Wearing masks is an essential place to start. The Washington Post. Biden's best option for VP, Susan Rice. In the history of political campaigns, no topic has a higher ratio of punditry to significance as the choice of running mates. It provides a refreshing break after the long race for the presidential nomination. It typically features many possible contenders, and it fills airtime on news and talk shows. For all the attention it gets, the decision usually makes no difference. Paul Ryan was the dream 2012 running mate for Mitt Romney, for all the good it did him. Dick Cheney added zero political value, which didn't stop George W. Bush from winning in 2000. Jack Kemp, Dan Quayle, Geraldine Ferraro, none of them mattered at the polls. But some vice presidents do matter in office. Mike Pence ran the coronavirus task force with slightly more competence than we have come to expect from this administration. Joe Biden spurred Barack Obama to endorse same-sex marriage. Cheney pushed relentlessly to invade Iraq. The choice of a running mate is important, though, for what it reveals about the presidential nominee. When John McCain chose the abysmally unqualified Sarah Palin, he contradicted his slogan, Country First. When Bush picked Cheney, it showed that he valued substance more than anything else. Biden has a harder decision because his options are more limited. First, recognizing the political and historic importance of ending the male monopoly on our highest offices, he promised to choose a woman. Second, with the sudden national focus on racial equity, he is under heavy pressure to make it someone of color. His decision is critical, if only because Biden, who will turn 78 in November, would be the oldest person ever to become president. He carries an outsized risk of dying or becoming incapacitated in office. He can't have great confidence that his number two would remain in the spare tire compartment. So Biden ought to give the highest priority to finding someone equipped to take over the presidency at any moment. There is only one contender who meets that standard, Susan Rice, whose preparation puts her in a different league from anyone else in the running. During the Clinton administration, she worked on the National Security Council and served as Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs. She was Barack Obama's UN ambassador and national security advisor. Her background is a crucial asset in the area where a president has the greatest power and where deep knowledge is the best safeguard against catastrophe. Rice would not need an education in dealing with Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, Israel, or our NATO allies. She's not only better equipped in foreign and defense affairs than the other vice presidential prospects, she's better equipped than any president since Richard Nixon. I say this, though I often strongly disagree with her, as when she supported the Iraq War and our intervention in Libya. But her high-level experience is some protection against unnecessary risks. Any mistakes she would make would not be mistakes of ignorance or naivete. Rice's resume is skimpy only on domestic matters, where the president has both less control and less risk of fatal mistakes. No one can doubt that with her abundance of brain power, Phi Beta Kappa at Stanford, Rhodes Scholar, she would soon master that part of the job. For all their talents, the other contenders look minor league next to her. Senator Kamala Harris, a former district attorney and California Attorney General, has spent most of her career in the narrow world of law and law enforcement. Likewise with Representative Val Demings, a second-term House member who was chief of the Orlando Police Department. Stacey Abrams' highest office was as minority leader in the Georgia House of Representatives. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has worked only at the local level. Representative Karen Bass of California has 15 years as a state and federal legislator, but no executive experience. Any of these women might make a good president eventually, but none is adequately prepared today. Rice's chief handicap is political. Republicans pilloried her for giving inaccurate answers about the 2012 attack on U.S. facilities in Benghazi, Libya. But her role was minor. Getting voters to elevate that episode above the coronavirus pandemic, the battered economy, and Donald Trump's racism would be next to impossible. For Republicans to pound the drum on Benghazi would be advertising their own irrelevance. Death, Biden knows all too well, can come like a thief in the night. If it comes to him as president, a successor who is ready would be his priceless bequest to the nation. Stephen Chapman. Chapman writes for the Chicago Tribune as well as being a syndicated columnist. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. Obituaries. Margaret Chancellor, San Angelo. Margaret Chancellor, 95, passed away Saturday, June 27th, 2020, in San Angelo. Public viewing will be from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., with a family visitation from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m., Wednesday, July 1st, 2020. Graveside services will be 2 p.m. Thursday, July 2nd, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa, with Reverend Michael Chancellor, Margaret's son, officiating. You will be able to view the live service via the link on her obituary page at www.robertmassey.com. Arrangements are under the direction of Robert Massey Funeral Home. Mrs. Chancellor was born January 29, 1925, in Welch. She was a 1943 graduate of Tilden High School. Margaret attended business school in Lubbock. She married J. L. Chancellor on July 3, 1946, in Odessa. He preceded her in death on November 2, 1982. Survivors include her three sons, Jim Chancellor and wife Linda of El Dorado, Michael Chancellor and wife Anna of Round Rock, and Bill Chancellor of Port St. Lucie, Florida. A daughter-in-law, Marianne Chancellor of Red Oak, eight grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, a very close niece, Nessa Marcantel of Orange, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. Margaret was preceded in death by two brothers, Gerald Fancher and Ray Fancher, and a sister, Myrna Kane. The family would like to express a special thanks to Dr. Norma Serna and the staff at Baptist Memorial for their loving care. Kayla Jean Boyd Knox, Odessa. Kayla Knox was 9 years old when she made the decision to follow Jesus as her Lord and Savior. On June 27, 2020, her salvation was made complete. With her parents by her side, Kayla passed away after a valiant fight against metastatic breast cancer. Kayla is preceded in death by her little brother, Clinton Dean Boyd, grandfathers Dean Gregory and Joe Horn, and mother-in-law Amy Knox. Kayla is survived by her husband, Zach Knox, and their two precious children, Phoenix and Hendrix. Her brother and sister-in-law of Clayton and Marcia Boyd of Keller, her parents, Roger and Dina Boyd of Odessa, grandparents, Barbara Horn of Odessa, and Roger Awanda Boyd of Big Spring. Also grieving her loss is father-in-law Shay Knox of Marble Falls and sister-in-law Cheyenne Knox of Marble Falls and a host of tight-knit extended family. A celebration service of Kayla's life will be held at 3 p.m. Wednesday, July 1st. Death notices. Adriana Bailon, Odessa. Adriana Bailon, 38, of Odessa, died Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Vicki Jean Bexley, Odessa. Vicki Jean Bexley, 64, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 28, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Obituaries. Charlotte Geraldine Williamson. Sharla Geraldine Williamson was born December 21, 1944, in Midland, Texas, and died there on April 25, 2020. The day of her death, she had a stroke and fell. Sharla was a survivor. She either suffered lack of oxygen at birth or contracted polio, then called infantile paralysis, in her first few months. The only surviving member of her immediate family, Tony Williamson Croft, has done considerable research and believes it was polio. Whatever actually caused it, Sharla was severely disabled. As an infant, she could not roll over. She did not walk until 6 or 7 years old, and only then with leg irons. She never learned to read. As she grew older, she developed a rudimentary ability to speak and a halting, walking gait. Yet a ferocious spirit lurked from birth in this rugged West Texas girl. At first, she could not tell others what she wanted, but she heard and remembered. Sharla was cherished by many people all her life. Sharla's parents, J.C. and Geraldine, Jerry Williamson, treated her with love and as a full-fledged family member. As she approached teenage years, she was sent to special schools in Dallas and San Marcos. She learned to swim, do some sign language, and improve her walking. Eventually, however, learning decreased and loneliness increased, and so she was brought home to live there full-time. For the last 55 years of her life, Sharla lived with her Williamson family in their Midland home. She was cared for part-time by Sylvia Gavia and her family. After J.C. died, Sylvia and her older daughter, Lucy Granada, became caregivers for both Jerry and Sharla. When Jerry died, Lucy's daughters, Selena and Melinda, joined in caring for Sharla 24 hours a day. In this way, Sharla was able to stay in the home she knew. She loved and was loved by this wonderful family. Tony Croft, although living in Alaska, became Sharla's official guardian, joined later by her adult children, Lee Croft, assisted by his wife Terry, and Kim Croft Miller. Tony's older son, Eric Croft, an Anchorage attorney, managed her estate, assisted by Liz Williamson, the older daughter of Tony's deceased brother, Ralph. Sharla had two adopted sisters, Margaret Williamson Hillen and Mary Jane Williamson Wilmoth, both of whom preceded her in death. Mary Jane is survived by her daughters, Connie Barnes, Fawn Duval, Leslie Moore, Christy Sockwell, Brianna Busick, and son Stephen Ferris. Margaret is survived by Deborah Hillen, Ricky, Robert Hillen Jr., and Adrian Hillen. One story exemplifies Sharla's ability to surprise everyone with her knowledge and humor. Sharla's father, J.C., was a famous West Texas wildcatter who loved the excitement of exploring for oil. He owed much of his success to his tenacious ability to turn any object into money for his drilling pursuits. After Jerry died 9 years ago, Sharla was listening silently as the family discussed what to do with an expensive ring. All sorts of uses were suggested. Wear it, auction it. No agreement could be found. Finally, Sharla could remain silent no longer. Sell it! Drill it! She blurted out. It might be fantasy, but it is easy to imagine that somewhere J.C. would have been most proud that at least one of his children was carrying on his drill baby drill ethic. When someone would drive her past her parents' grave, Sharla would always wave and say, "Hi, Mama, Papa." And now we will wave and say, "Hi, Chachi." Death notices. Magno Gomez. Magno Gomez, 80, of Midland, passed away Sunday, June 21, 2020. Visitation will be held on Sunday, June 28, 2020, at the Wallen Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m., with a Holy Rosary to be recited that evening at 7 p.m. Funeral will be departing the Wallen Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home on Monday, June 29, 2020, at 9:30 a.m., for a 10 a.m. funeral mass at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, with Father David Herrera officiating. Burial will follow at Serenity Cemetery. He is survived by his two sons, Carlos and Eddie Gomez, three sisters, one brother, six grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. Obituaries. Annetta May Arnett. Annetta May Arnett passed away on June 10, 2020, after a short illness. Annetta was born on May 3, 1934, in Perry, Illinois, to Albert and Florence Hatch. She was the middle child between her late brother Northrop and her younger sister Karen. The family later lived in Iowa until they moved to Midland, Texas in 1948. Annetta was married to Ralph Arnett on June 17, 1954, and they had 7 children: Alan, Vicky, Bonnie, Eric, Kevin, Gary, and her late son, Carrie. She was a loving grandmother to Matthew, Andrea, Heath, Crystal, and Morgan, and to her great-grandchildren. Annetta was a member of Temple Baptist Church. She loved arts and crafts and was talented at painting and making unique and creative items, which she often gave to her loved ones as gifts. She loved children and animals and always had a dog or two around the house. Online condolences for the family may be expressed through Ellis Funeral Home at www.dignitymemorial.com. Garland F. Barton. Garland F. Barton, age 78, of Midland, Texas, passed away June 26, 2020. Born December 6, 1941, to the late Austin Lewis and Bessie Mabel Barton in Derry, New Mexico, Gary was drafted and served in the United States Army from 1963 to 1965 and was stationed in Korea. Shortly after, he married his wife Judy on July 7, 1966. Garland loved to hunt, and more recently fishing was his sport of choice. He was a machinist by trade, working for Drilco as a machinist and toolmaker for many years. Garland opened and operated the Double B Machine Shop for oil field supplies, and then moved on to work for Don Mann Pump and Supply Shop, where he retired from in 2010. He is survived by his wife, Judy Barton of Midland, Texas, his children, John Barton of Midland, Texas, Jason Barton of Midland, Texas, and Bobby Joe Barrera of Costa Rica. 6 grandchildren: Alyssa Barton, Kelly Gibbs, Carrie Gibbs, Allie Seaman, Cameron Barton, and Chase Barton, as well as 1 great-grandchild, Ellie Seaman. In addition to his wife and children, he is survived by his sister, Vera Garner of Edgewood, Texas, and a brother, Joe Buckshot Barton of Clarksville, Arkansas. He is preceded in death by his parents and 2 brothers, Stanley Barton and Austin Barton. In keeping with his wishes, the family has chosen cremation services. Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home have been entrusted to handle the arrangements. Jason Wesley Prabila. Jason Wesley Prabila, 34, of Big Spring, passed away Friday, June 19, 2020. Memorial services will be held at a later date. He was born October 2, 1985, at Eglin Air Force Base, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Jason graduated from Grady High School, where he was a member of the 2004 State Basketball Championship team. He later graduated with his Master's in Business Administration from Angelo State University in San Angelo. He had worked in various positions in the oil field. Survivors include his father, David Prabila of Tarzan, Texas, his mother, Brenda Prabila of Fair Oaks Ranch, Texas, 1 sister, Brianna Allred, and husband, Dusty, and 1 brother, Justin Prabila. He was preceded in death by his grandparents. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials to West Texas Boys Ranch, 10223 Boys Ranch Road, San Angelo, Texas, 76904, or to a favorite charity. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Elfida Grado. Elfida Grado, 85, passed away in Midland on June 25, 2020. A viewing will be held on Saturday, June 27, 2020, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday, June 28, 2020, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., and Monday, June 29, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home, 405 North Terrell Street. The rosary will be Sunday and Monday at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be on Tuesday, June 30, 2020, at 11 a.m. at San Miguel Archangel, officiated by Father Patrick. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery, 6800 South Highway 349, Midland, Texas. She is survived by her husband, Jesus Jose Grado, her children, Eloisa Amendades, Jesus Jose Grado III, Estela Sanchez, Norma Grado, and Yesenia Grado, 1 brother, 1 sister, 18 grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. Emma Jean Taylor. Emma Jean Taylor, age 70, of Harker Heights, Texas, passed away on Sunday, June 14, 2020. She was preceded in death by her late husband, Larry Taylor, and parents. Emma Taylor survived by her three beautiful children, Aretha Denise Taylor, Tracy Fitzgerald Taylor, Barbara Taylor, Alcinvia Delisa Bullard. Funeral services will be held on Wednesday, July 1, 2020 at 11 a.m. at Heritage Funeral Home, 425 East Central Texas Expressway, Harker Heights, Texas. Interment will be held at Central Texas State Veteran Cemetery. Visit https://www.heritage-funeralhome.com. Martha Yester. Martha Yester, 90, passed away June 17, 2020. Memorial service is pending due to COVID conditions with Nallie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
This is the obituary column, Monday, June 29, 2020. J.W. Jake Freeland. On June 23, 2020, Jake went peacefully into the loving arms of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jake was born in Godley, Texas, on the family ranch, July 12, 1927, and attended primary school and in various county schools. Jake is survived by his wife, Geraldine Perry, and daughter, Jadine Zachary, and her husband, Tommy, daughter, Sue Lee, granddaughters, Crystal Dady, Tiffany Hamilton, Tatum McNaughton, Brenda Sochting, and grandson, Jake Lee, and 11 great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Dwight Freeland and Maud York, and brother, Benny Freeland. The family wishes to offer their deepest appreciation to his caregivers, Monica Dakima, Agnieszka Oakley, Comfort Odumbu, Toyin Olaiwola, and Mildred Rodriguez. Thank you for caring so lovingly. The family will hold a visitation and viewing Monday, June 29th, 2020 at Ella's Funeral Home from 6 to 8 p.m. at 801 Andrews Highway, Midland, Texas. Graveside service will be held Tuesday, June 30th at Rest Haven, 4616 North Big Springs Street, Midland, at 11 a.m.
Obituaries for Sunday, June 28th. Laveda Patsy Haupt. Laveda Patsy Haupt, 89, of Odessa, passed away Monday, June 22nd at her residence. She was born September 5th, 1930, in Runnels County, to the late Ollie Cummings and Henry Seals. She married Ernest H. Haupt in 1949. Laveda is preceded in death by her husband of 50 years, Ernest, parents Henry and Ollie Seals, sisters Ollie Holt, Pearl Calvert, and Joy Steelman, and brother L.D. Seals. Survivors include her nephews, Barney Smith and wife Jan, Sonny Seals, Jeff and Chad Smith, Dylan Thompson, and Cody Caswell, nieces Shirley Hall, Heather McKenzie, and husband Wendell, and Corey Roper. The family will receive friends for visitation Monday, June 29th, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, June 30th at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors with Pastor Eric Stadler officiating. For everyone's safety, masks are required at the funeral home. Graveside services will follow at 3:30 p.m. at Lutheran Cemetery in Winters with Pastor Alan Brackey officiating. George Walter McCarty. George Walter McCarty, 72, of Odessa, passed away Monday, June 22nd. He was born Wednesday, September 10th, 1947, in Carlsbad, New Mexico, to the late Harry W. McCarty and Margie Marie Lewis. George asked that no services be held and he will be taken to his final resting place in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Surviving him are his wife, Priscilla McCarty, son, Michael Howell, daughter, Kimberly Barandi, and husband, Chris, sister, Sally Massey, and husband, Larry, several nieces and a nephew, four grandchildren, four great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Harry and Margie McCarty. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to the American Cancer Society of Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Raymond Mayo Pearson, Jr. Raymond Ray Mayo Pearson, Jr. passed away June 4th in Lubbock. Memorial services will be held in Stroud, Oklahoma at the First Baptist Church, Monday, June 29th at 11 a.m. with Pastor James Bond officiating. You can visit www.memorialdesigners.net to view his life tribute and sign a virtual guest book. Ray Pearson was born in Asher, Oklahoma in 1932. He married Bertie Kinchin in 1950 in Stroud. They divorced, and in 1973, Ray married Marie Dykes. He was preceded in death by his parents, two sisters, Susan Coleman and Irma Howard, as well as both spouses, and two children, Richard and Terry Pearson. Survivors include his sister, Betty Brower of Prague, Oklahoma, son, Larry Pearson, and wife, Sherry of Lubbock, daughter, Linda Scott, and husband, Jimmy of Owosso, Oklahoma, daughter, Peggy Griner, and husband, Tom of Owosso, Oklahoma, daughter-in-law, Penny Pearson of the Colony, stepson, Tom Dykes, and wife, Kay of Dallas, nine grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. To donate memorial contributions in his name, the family of Ray Pearson has designated one of his favorite organizations, the CAF Desert Squadron, Post Office Box 13112, Odessa 79768, or online at https://commemorativeairforce.org/pages/support-the-CAF. John R. Scott, Jr. John R. Scott, Jr. of Gorman passed away on Father's Day, Sunday, June 21st, at the age of 93. He was born May 23, 1927, in Temple to John Robert Scott Sr. and Ida Dell Strasner Scott. He married Levita Boyd Scott in 1945 in Odessa. John is survived by his son Robert Terry Scott and wife Debbie, daughter Sheila Scott Dowlin, seven grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his wife, Levita Boyd Scott, his sister, Pearl Lee Collins, and his parents. Graveside funeral services will be held Monday, June 29th at 9 a.m. in Sunset Memorial Gardens. Memorial contributions may be made in honor of John to the Church of Christ, Highway 6, De Leon, St. Jude's Research Hospital, or the West Texas Boys Ranch. Condolences may be offered online at www.nolananderssfh.com. Royce Lee Botiford. Odessan Royce Botiford, 83, passed away June 22nd. He was born on the family farm near Millsap, November 23rd, 1936. His ashes will be taken to Millsap Pope Prairie Cemetery, and there will be a graveside service. Due to the COVID-19 epidemic, there will be a memorial service at a later date in Odessa, handled by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Royce is survived by his wife, Helen. They have a son, Terry, and wife, Tracy, of Houston, a daughter, Michelle, and husband, Daniel Olson, of Lubbock, 4 grandchildren, and 3 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Church of Christ, 6th and Jackson, Odessa, 1st Presbyterian Church, 1401 North Sam Houston in Odessa, Odessa College, or any charity of your choice. Letha Ruby Hooper. Letha Ruby Hooper, born October 24, 1941, in Lockney, to Leela Louise Wiley Jones and Edward Nolan Jones, passed away June 12. She is preceded in death by her parents, her husband, James Wiley Hooper, brother, Edward Thomas Jones, and sister, Leela May Turner. She is survived by her brother, Nolan Dale Jones of Odessa, sisters Edna Jo Lindsay of Ransom Canyon and Nola Gail Cosgrove of Glen Heights, 6 nieces, 5 nephews, and several great and grand nieces and nephews. The family will have a private celebration of her life. Death notices. James Wesley Wes Hunt. James Wesley Wes Hunt, 68, of Odessa, died Monday, June 8th. A celebration of life is scheduled for 5 to 6:30 p.m. July 2nd at Odessa Country Club. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Kayla Knox. Kayla Knox, 37, died Saturday, June 27th. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Dog Rescue Benefits from Scout by Michael Bauer. Tyler Connell is close to getting his Eagle badge. His leadership project should help him as he finishes up his requirements. For his project, Connell will help construct a metal fence around the perimeter of the future facility of the foster-based animal rescue, Dog Rescue RS, in Gardendale. Located at 5036 Marigold Street, the rescue recently broke ground on the half acre of land that was donated to them by Rich Eicher. Connell said he was introduced to Dog Rescue RS through his grandma. "We both do charity work, and she told me about them," Connell said. "I became interested, and I heard that there's land that they were wanting to develop. And we asked the beneficiary, Dana Tynley, and asked her what all they needed done. And she gave us the primary things that needed to be done. I decided that a good one to do would be to build a perimeter fence." Connell, 15, who is about to enter sophomore year at Midland Lee High School, is a part of Midland's Troop 160. He says he's been planning to do this project for about 5 weeks now. The construction of the fence began on the weekend of June 26th and 27th. After taking off Independence Day weekend, Connell says they'll get back to work on the following weekend. "We're going to skip the July 4th weekend because we know people will be gone, and then the next work weekend will be July 10th and 11th, and we're hoping to have the fence up." His dad, Brad Connell, who's helping him with the project, said that they have received some donations needed for the project. "We have everything donated for the first part except for 250 bags of Quikrete," Brad said. Then we have welders coming out on July 10th to help weld and attach the metal fence up. It's a great deal. They have to plan and learn how to plan from the very beginning to do the whole project themselves. Then they go to a board review to talk about their scouting and what they've done for their final project. Trying to decide what kind of fence to build depended on a couple of factors, most notably the cost. At first, we couldn't decide whether to do a metal fence, a wooden fence, so he called the company and got estimates, and they decided that the metal fence was the way to go, Brad said. Tyler said that they should have around 10 or 11 people helping out and possibly more volunteers. We're going to have a few scouts, possibly some volunteers from the dog rescue, and friends and family too, and anyone who wants to get their hands dirty, Tyler said. In addition, there will also be a general contractor out there supervising everyone. Tyler was able to recruit some people from his own troop to help out through virtual meetings. We're doing virtual meetings right now on Zoom, so I just let them know what we're doing, Tyler said. As a side note, the metal fence that will surround Dogs R Us Rescue Facility in Gardendale will have a concrete foot to help prevent dogs from digging underneath.
This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020, etc. Sudden ghosting causes hurt and confusion. Dear Abby, I am dealing with the worst heartbreak ever. I don't know what I did to make my boyfriend stop liking me. He won't talk to me or text me back, and now he has blocked me on Facebook. One minute he said that he would always hang out with me, and the next he told me to stop messaging him and blocked me. All of this has made me go out of control, and now I want to hate on everyone. How can I stop this awful hurt? Love Hurts in Oregon. Dear Love Hurts, before I answer that question, I want to weigh in on your signature, Love Hurts. What I need to impress upon you is love doesn't hurt. Real love makes people feel better. It's time to stop asking yourself what you did wrong to be getting the treatment he is doling out. Allow me an educated guess. He may feel guilty because he met someone else and doesn't have the courage to own up to it. Time will tell if I'm right. The way to soothe this ache and refrain from lashing out at others would be to remember they are blameless. By taking your pain out on them, you are isolating only yourself. Get rid of any mementos that remind you of him. If a song reminds you of him, don't play it again. Keep yourself busy. Focus on other things and talk with your friends and family about your feelings. If you do, you will soon realize that others have experienced the same disappointment you have. And above all, remember that although this experience may have been romantic for a while, it has run its course. Dear Abby, I am at my wit's end with my husband. I have a vision impairment as a result of ocular cancer, and he refuses to stop making fun of me about it. He teases me constantly about being blind, about not being able to read, and about how bad my eyes are. My eyes are very bad, some days much worse than others, but I'm not totally blind. And Abby, I can read, just not the way I used to. When I tell him it hurts my feelings, he either gets angry at me for being too sensitive or rushes it off because he's just being honest. He is very religious, and I have thought about reaching out to his pastor about this because it bothers me so much, but I'm agnostic and don't have a relationship with him. It hurts me, but it's almost worse because our daughter watches it, and I don't want her to think it's okay for her daddy to bully me like this. Challenged. Dear Challenged, you are not too sensitive, and your husband is not just being honest. He may be punishing you because you had the nerve to get ocular cancer, or he may simply have a sadistic streak. This is not how good Christians behave. It is how hypocrites do. That you are an agnostic, many intelligent and pious individuals are, by the way, should not stop you from having a conversation with your husband's pastor. However, even if the pastor were to craft a sermon on the subject, I doubt it would change your husband's behavior. If you are going to continue in this marriage, you must find a way to change the way you react to the mistreatment you're receiving. Perhaps once he finds he can't get the reaction he's looking for, he will stop. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com. Is bacteria resistant? Dear Dr. Roach, I have a concern with all the disinfectant wipes and hand sanitizers we are using now. A while ago, I was told that overusing disinfectants allows bacteria to become resistant to them, and then they will not respond to antibiotics. Are we setting ourselves up for larger problems in the future with drug-resistant bacteria? B.I.F. Answer. Drug-resistant bacteria are indeed a large potential problem, but the main driver for this is antibiotic use. For example, when one is given inappropriately for an illness that is not bacterial, when they are taken for too long, and when used for animals in the food chain, which can lead to antibiotics in the water supply. Bacteria may acquire antibiotic resistance through relatively small changes in their genetic material, either through mutation or acquisition of outside DNA. By contrast, disinfectants kill bacteria through many different pathways, and acquisition of resistance is much harder. There is little evidence that frequent use of disinfectants could lead to resistance to those disinfectants or to antibiotics. Moreover, the benefit from having clean surfaces and hands is large and immediate. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Cancer and a moon in Scorpio. Happy birthday for Tuesday, June 30, 2020. Extremely motivated and technically gifted, you will be in demand this year. And with your astute financial sense, you will do better than most. If single, you let so few into your private world that it could take a long time before you allow yourself a partner who really loves you. If attached, you are bound closely to your mate, but still need your solitary pursuits. Scorpio also likes their alone time. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. You feel more confident today. Share your philosophical concepts, make appointments, and write important emails. There can be special sharing with grandparents or grandchildren. Let propriety and habit guide you. Others will resent surprises. Frustrations ebb. Tonight, you unveil potentials. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Today illustrates the value of cooperation. Your partnership sector is highlighted. Others have plans and want to involve you. Respect the ideas and motives of coworkers. Be fair. Rules, regulations, and justice are important guidelines to assure harmony in your world. Tonight, date night. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Your health sector is highlighted. Be aware of how stress and diet impact your well-being. Accept imperfections philosophically. A deeper love and appreciation for animals builds. Buy a new bird feeder or adopt a kitten. You'll be amazed at the joy it brings you. Tonight, relax. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. A new twist regarding your social life. A gathering on Zoom might not be what you expected. A loved one is unpredictable. Be very considerate and correct in all your dealings with others. Tonight, it is easier to make the right choices. You intuitively know. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Your desire to regenerate, to make a difference for the better, can be expressed as you establish improvements in your home life. Organize and display your treasures free of clutter. Clear away debris that can hamper your forward progress. Tonight, you feel free. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. An unusual person appears in your neighborhood. You will have an opportunity to reevaluate the accuracy of your first impression and satisfy the need to get both sides of every story. You might make a new friend. Tonight, catch up with a sibling or cousin. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Today encourages you to examine what material, possessions, and wealth really mean. There may be an urge to acquire new belongings and to discard those that are outdated and superfluous. Treasure and appreciate what truly matters, and let go of the rest. Tonight, contentment. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. A new and deeper understanding of what love is all about develops. Today will open avenues of expression you have always secretly known were possible, but never actually manifested before. There is a sense of mission and purpose coming. Tonight, you are excited. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Your perpetually active inner life will become more colorful and vivid, while you will shun fanfare outwardly. It might surprise you if friends and relatives accuse you of withholding information. You will manage to satiate their curiosity and still be discreet. Tonight, early bedtime. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today makes it easy for you to promote beliefs and causes that are meaningful to you. Team spirit is strong, and you can enlist the help of associates in realizing goals. It is a warm and successful day. Tonight, catch up with old friends. Celebrate. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. You make plans regarding your career and revamp an existing job or seek a new one. There is a background influence operative here. It underscores ambition and the need for accomplishment. Much will be expected of you. Tonight, slow and steady wins the race. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Your natural acting ability is expressed in your conversations and emails today. Do not adhere too closely to old habits and ideas. New information brings a different viewpoint to the fore. Tonight, you finally start to tentatively plan travel for work, which will be productive. Born today, actress Lena Horne, 1917, boxer Mike Tyson, 1966, swimmer Michael Phelps, 1985.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.